As we continue in our Bold Faith series, let me ask you this question. Have you ever owned something and forgot you owned it? And then you found it later, like a gift card. Maybe get a gift card for your birthday or Christmas, and your wife put it away somewhere. You forgot all about it. And then later on, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, you found that gift card. You're like, oh, eureka. I got a gift card here, and I needed this gift card for either this restaurant or this store. I need to buy something, and here's the gift card. Like, I had it all along. I forgot I had it. Or maybe you had some money tucked away in a coat pocket somewhere during the wintertime, and you didn't realize it until the next winter. You put your hands in your pocket, and you're like, God is blessing. Look right here. Have you ever done that? Yeah. I always feel good about that. Like, I've had that money. That could have came in handy later on this summer when I was needing that money for vacation. Money stuffed away in my pocket. Didn't even know I had. How about when you are trying to find the answer to something? You're trying to buy something you need to do to figure out something around the house. And your kids are like, well, Dad, you know there's an app for that? You know? Oh, I was carrying it around all along in my pocket, and I didn't realize I had an app that would actually be a tape measure. I don't have to go down and buy a tape measure. There's an app for that. It was there all along. I just didn't acknowledge or know about it, or maybe I simply didn't just use it. For many Christians, I wonder how many of us today, if we're really being honest, we're living this way spiritually. We love Jesus, we're on our way to heaven, but we're living far below the resources that God has given us. We're living far below in the power and authority that has been given to each believer. We have this authority through Jesus. We have this power that he's given us, and I want you to know today, God's not going to do something for you what he's already empowered you to do. So we got to understand, if he's given me the power to do something, he wants me to do it. And he's not going to do it for me if he's already given me the power and authority to do it for myself. Our understanding of spiritual authority and power will affect the level of which we live our faith. The more you understand your God-given authority, the more you understand your God-given power to walk out every day, the higher we live at a faith level that he wants us to grow and live our life in. When you walk in the door today to go back home, what's one of the first things you're going to do without thinking? You're just going to flip on the light switch, aren't you? Flip on the light switch. And if you have paid your bill, you're not worried about that power coming on, right? That light coming on, because you know that power is ran to your house. And you don't even think about tapping it on. You don't even think about turning it on. You know the power is running to your house. So many believers today, they have power running to their house and they never turn it on. They never use it. They never plug in to the power source that's been given to you and I, or the authority that God has intended that every believer and follower would use in their life. You know, I have a lot of amazing children, as you guys know, and not that I ever brag about any of my kids, air quotes, right? Like you, I'm proud of my children. I'm proud of all of their great accomplishments. One of the things that I was blessed is that my middle son received my athletic ability, and so playing football through high school, and he received, you may not know this, he received 19 Division I scholarship offers coming out of high school. That was pretty incredible, yeah. And he decided to stay close to home, played at Missouri State, and he was a three-time all-conference player there at Missouri State. And his senior year, as he was entering into his last year of eligibility, he said, Dad, I'm thinking about going into the portal and the transfer portal and see what's out there, see if maybe I can't pick up at a bigger school and have a chance to play at a bigger school. He had already been a two-time captain, a three-time all-conference player. So he's like, I feel like I want to challenge myself and see if I can just do it. I said, go for it, son. You don't got nothing to lose. Go for it, man. And so I'm behind you. And he entered his name. I remember he entered the portal. And on Sunday morning, his phone started blowing up on Sunday morning. He's walking in and out of the doors. What are you doing? I'm getting calls from coaches and wanting me to talk to them. And he'd gotten some offers. And some of them were good. And he was contemplating. And then he got a call from a coach who had just gotten hired on Deion Sanders' staff. When Deion went to Colorado in his first year there at the university, Coach Prime, he said, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I just got hired as the O-line coach for the University of Colorado. Coach Prime's taking over. He's bringing me and my head coach over, and we're going to be a part of his staff. He goes, if you have not signed anywhere, he goes, I'm going to show your tape to the Colorado staff and Coach Prime tomorrow, and if they like you, I want to offer you. And he did that, and the next day he called and said, hey, man, Coach Prime likes your tape. We're going to extend you an offer, and they extended, landed an offer to the University of Colorado, Coach Prime's first year there. Now, in this, he said, Dad, he got the offer. What do you think I should do? I said, son, it's Coach Prime. It's prime time. I got in the living room, and I did this, like, you know, Heisman. I was doing, it's Coach Prime. I don't know if you're going, but I'm going if you're not going. And I was like, son, it's going to be crazy. Like, and it was even crazier than we ever thought it could be. I was like, it's going to be crazy his first year there. All the attention, all the talk shows, all the celebrities. I mean, it was crazy, madhouse crazy. And he went there. And I remember when they invited us in for our official visit to the campus. They were having their spring game that weekend, of his first appearance at the stadium, the team's first appearance, Spring game was sold out, and we get there, and they put this badge around my neck, and it says right there, Gene Beebe, guest of Landon Beebe right there, and because I had this badge, I was able to go into the locker room. Because I had this badge, I was able to go into the training facilities. I was able to go into the weight room. I was able to go into the cafeteria and eat with the other athletes. I was able to sit in the meeting room with all the other players where they sat and the coaches meet. We're in the coach's office. I got access to go down to the field and on the field. I remember the day we were there and we walk on the field and College Game Day is there. And I'm standing shoulder to shoulder with Chris Fowler, Heisman Trophy winners, there's Hall of Famers that are there, rappers and movie stars that are there. And I'm on the field for the game. We're right there. My son's on the field. I'm on the field down there next to him. And I have friends that live in Colorado and they knew our story. And I knew they were going to be at the game. And they told me where they were sitting. I turned around and I looked at them from the field. I was like, how are you peasants doing up there in the stands? Coach Prime's right there. I'm right here. Michael Irvin's right there. I'm right here. Terrell Davis is right there. I'm right here. On the line. T-Pain's right there. I'm right here. I had a grill. I was going for it. I'm telling you. I didn't have a grill. But anyway, I did get a hat. I think we have a picture of that right on the side. We have a picture of us there. It's me, us and Coach Prime there in the top picture after one of the practices. And you see my cowboy hat. I was wearing a cowboy. Coach Prime had a cowboy hat. I had a cowboy hat at every game. And I got to go in the locker room with the players. That's the Travis Hunter right there, the Heisman Trophy winner right there, number 12 right in front of me. I mean, we're just walking out with these guys. You know what? My family are big-time football fans. We go to a lot of college games and a lot of football games. I've never, outside of a recruiting trip, I've never, ever been invited to go down to the coach's office. I've never been invited during a game to come down to the field and be on the field. When we get there, they gave us tickets. Not only that game, we sit on the sidelines. And during the normal games, they gave us tickets right midfield, right behind the players' bench, about 5 to 10 rows up, right there. I'm so close, I can look at my son and say, good job. I mean, we're that close to the field. I had the best tickets in the house. I never got those kind of tickets given to me before. They never let me go back and eat in the cafeteria before. They never let me talk to Coach Prime before or any of the other players. Why? What was different? Because of my relationship with my son, I was given all access to places I had never been invited before and since then. And what we got to understand is because of our relationship with the Son, Jesus, we have been given an access pass. We have authority to be places you couldn't go before. You have authority to walk into power you never had before. And we got to understand this because of what our relationship with God's Son, Jesus, we are now made heirs of God, children of God. We have been given authority to go places you couldn't go before. You walk in a power you never had before. And I want our eyes today to be open. I want our eyes to see that things happen. Look at this statement. Faith changes when you understand your power and authority. Faith change. Your faith can't help but rise when you have your eyes open to the authority and power that God has given every believer. As we set up our opening text today, remember Moses, the great leader who led the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's bondage, slaves for years. God sends Moses to deliver them. But before God sent Moses to deliver them, he was an Egyptian. He was raised in an Egyptian palace in Pharaoh's court. Even though he was a child of Israel, raised there, the favor of God was upon him. But he took up for the Roman soldier who was beating one of the fellow Israelites there as a slave. They were whipping him, abusing him. He took up. So he had to run for his life. And he ran to the desert and spent 40 years hiding on the backside of the desert. And we pick up the story now. After 40 years in exile and 40 years hiding, look what it says in Exodus 3, verses 1 through 2. And we'll skip to verse 7. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, Bodine, right there, and the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb and the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And it says he looked and behold, the bush was burning. Yet it was not burning up, it was not consumed. And then the Lord spoke out of the bush and said, I have surely seen the what? Let's say it together. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know how they are suffering. Have you ever felt like God has forgotten you? God, why am I going through this? God, why was I dealt this hand in life? God, why did I have to be raised this way? God, why did I have to go through this loss? God, why did I suffer this tragedy? God, why did I have to go through this hardship? God, do you even see me? God, do you even notice me? I'm going through it. And may I tell you today that you may feel like you are forgotten. And you may feel like, God, do you even hear my cry? You ever been in church and you just cry and worship? God, do you even see me? God, I need you. I'm here to remind you today that God, not only has he not forgotten you, but he sees you and hears your cry. God sees your oppression, and I want you to know you are not alone. God has not forgotten you, and just because you feel alone doesn't mean you are alone. He said, I see the oppression of my people. And he didn't just see it with those who were enslaved in captivity. He sees it today. Anybody who's walking in oppression, he says, I see the oppression of my people, and I've called to set you free. He is called to set us free from the oppression. God never intended for his children to walk and live in oppression. Think about it. He didn't allow his son to die the way he had to die on the cross and go through what he had to go through for you and I to live in oppression. No, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. there is freedom. He is called to let us walk in freedom. You don't have to walk in the bondage of your past. You don't have to walk in bondage of your guilt. You don't have to walk in bondage of being a victim all your life. You don't have to walk in bondage of the things that have oppressed you. You've been given power and authority to break free from that and live victorious in Jesus' name. We have not been given a spirit of fear and oppression, but we have been given a spirit of love, a power, and a sound mind. Let's pick up the story now in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And then Moses said, but God, they will not believe me. They're not going to listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord didn't appear to you. And the Lord said to him, let's say it together, what is that in your hand? He said, it's a staff. He said, now throw it on the ground. And as soon as he threw it on the ground, it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it just like I would have. Okay, God. But the Lord said to Moses, put your hand down and catch it by the tail. No, thank you, Jesus. I said, all right. God said, pick it up by the tail. And so as he put his hand out and did what God told him, it says he caught it and instantly it became back his staff again. He goes, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. God showed off his power and said, you're going to go in my power. You're going to walk in my power. You're going to walk. I want you to understand this. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? I'm going to use my power through what's in your hand. Everybody look at your hand like this. Raise one hand up in the air and go, what's in my hand? What's in your hand? See, the problem, you want to know why we don't see what's in our hand? Can I be very real with you today? The reason we don't see what's in our hand is we notice what everybody else has got in their hand. I don't have what they have. What do you have? I don't know, because they have something better than me. And we never acknowledge what we have. Remember what we've been teaching through Faith series is that God gives out a measure of faith, which are different measurements, to all of us, and he says, we're only responsible to use the measure he's given us. So whatever he's given to you, if you will begin to throw it down and let God move with his power through it, he will multiply back to you and I even to a greater measure. That promise is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will multiply when we move by faith, through let the power of God move through what's in our hand. You're saying that if I throw down the staff, going, no, you ain't trying to. He didn't call you to lead a million people out of enslaved bondage, okay? That had been slaves for hundreds and hundreds of years. It took extreme power and extreme signs, and God did that. But what it does show me is this: God, if you can move that miraculous and part the Red Sea, you can heal my friend over here if I had the boldness to pray for him. That is not too hard for you. You can make a way when there seems like there's not a way. When the road's been blocked, God, you can remove the obstacle if I will just say, God, prove yourself, and let God begin to pray over him and pray over that situation. Stop looking at what's in everybody else's hand and start using the gifts God's given you. Start stewarding the gifts that God's given you. He told Moses, now, go in my name. Who shall I say sent me? He says, I am that I am. The present tense God. Just tell him, I am sent you. Go in my name. And so he says, go in my. He didn't say, Moses, tell him that Moses sent me. Don't tell him to come with Aaron's name. He says, you tell them you're coming in my name, that God has sent you. What's that mean? You are walking in God's authority, not your authority. What if they don't believe me? Then we use the power of God. I've seen this so much over time. We got to realize that God wants to do something through the power that he's given to us. Look at this right here. God's authority must be combined with God's power. See, for the, when we combine the authority and the power of God, something miraculous happens. I can tell you, there's been times I've prayed, God, I can't speak their language, but God, I'm going to pray. I need you to touch them. I need you to do something in their life right now. And the power of God would move miraculously, either healing or encouraging. Something would happen. I remember a story that I love to tell because it's such a powerful, incredible story. And I verify the story because I've heard it firsthand from the person who was an eyewitness that I trust. Very credible, credible evangelist. Had crusades with over 500,000 people showing up in Africa at his big crusades. For many years, lived there in the Africa, in Africa. And he was there, and when he first got there, he was a helicopter pilot, and he was flying into remote villages and sharing the gospel. And they had heard about this. This one village he was trying to get to had never heard the gospel before. And as they were trying to get there, they said, man, we had all kinds of problems. We had engine problems. We were crashing our helicopter. He goes, it was a real struggle for us to get there. I mean, things were just happening. People getting sick. I mean, just a lot of things happening. And they found out when they finally did arrive, when they got, they came over the mountain in the helicopter, they saw the altars of dead animals, all of them they had been sacrificing to their evil gods, making sacrifices. And when they land, they were shocked. And they said, we did not expect you to make it. We heard you were coming, so we put out a fleece that your helicopter would not reach our village. And then he's like, so now I see the warfare has been going on. Now I know why it was such a hard getting here. I mean, they have summoned Satan to come down and to stop these men of God from showing up in their village and sharing Jesus. And it was a struggle. They were oppressed. But they fought through it and got there. And when they got there, they called for the chief and they met the chief. And everybody was resistant. They didn't want these guys there. And he noticed that he heard that the chief had a daughter who had leprosy on her body. And if you know anything about leprosy, it will eat the flesh off of your body, eat the skin off your body. And they brought her and he saw her and he said, Chief, is it okay if I pray for your daughter? He said she was missing on one of her arms. She was missing half the flesh on her arm, had flesh missing on part of her face. And he put his hands on that girl and said, Father, that these people may know that you are the true living God. I pray right now that God, you begin to heal this daughter. He goes, now I was expecting the healing. He goes, but I didn't expect what happened next. In front of the chief's eyes, in front of our eyes, the skin and flesh grew back right in front of all of us. The chief about passed out, got up and said, this man is in the power of his God. There's power in his God. Anybody who doesn't worship this man's God will be put to death. He's like, wait, time out, chief. It doesn't work that way. But he shared the gospel message. And the whole village who had never, ever heard the gospel gave their hearts to the gospel of Jesus. I mean, and that what was needed in that remote village, that what was needed at that time to have a breakthrough. I'm telling you, the power of God is amazing. It's amazing. But authority without power is bad. Right? Give someone authority without power to back it up, it's a recipe for disaster. And how many know people with power and no authority? That's a recipe for disaster. You got to have both. Look at Luke 4:35. Jesus did this. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent, talking to the demonic spirits, be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For the authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. They obey. What happens here is this. We got to understand this, that even the demons know that Jesus is full of power and authority, and they must obey him. I mean, Jesus be walking through the village, not even praying for people, and the demons would be crying out, leave, go! Why do you torment us, Jesus? I mean, they're running, begging Jesus to leave the area. And Jesus is walking through, having a cup of coffee, just enjoying himself. Not even trying to do any deliverance. He's not even delivering people. And demons are already trembling, already bowing, already shaking, already submitting. And when Jesus gave the word, they believe immediately because they recognize his power and authority. Can we keep it real today? I know you want me to. Too bad that the demons in hell have more understanding and recognize Jesus' power than a lot of people who follow Jesus today. They have, I mean, the demons of hell have a greater understanding of the power and authority of Jesus than many followers and believers. What a shame. We should know our authority and we should know the power that God has given every believer, and it sets us free to walk in his power. Not my power, his power. What are you saying, Pastor, when you feel a spiritual attack on your mind, your home, your family, your children? You need to understand you can stand in the power and the authority of Jesus' name. You don't stand in your name, you stand in Jesus' name. Look what Jesus told us in Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Behold, I have given you, that's us, given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So Jesus made it very clear. Because of him, these demonic spirits are subject to us because of his authority. He says, I'll give you the power to tread on what? Serpents and scorpions. In the Bible, serpents represent Satan, and scorpions represent any demonic thing that follows Satan. So when he says that's what he's saying. You've been given power over the enemy in your life. Understand this power. He goes, don't rejoice because of the power. Don't walk around, oh, hallelujah, we've been given power over the enemy. He says, don't rejoice. No, we rejoice because our names have been written in the book of life. Our names have been forgiven. We are now children of God. He goes, rejoice in that. But because of that revelation, I understand now I also have the authority and power. And just because I don't rejoice in that authority and power, I understand I've been given authority and power because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every believer has been given this authority and power. We've been made children of God. We understand we have been given power and authority. Acts 1:8 talks about power. Look what it says. But you shall receive when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, we receive authority when we surrender our life to Jesus. When I believe in Jesus, when I make Jesus Lord of my life, I receive authority from Jesus. And when I surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, I receive power. I receive authority from Jesus. I receive power from the Holy Spirit. It goes hand in hand, and we need both in our life. What is authority? It means divine permission. You've been given divine permission, supreme authority over the Satan, what he's trying to do over your life. Any oppression he's trying to bring over you and your family, you've been given divine authority. It does not have to dominate you. Been given authority. Authority's good. Let me ask you this question. If our local police department came to you and said, listen, we are in trouble. We need a lot of help from some of the bigger cities around. All these gangs are coming together. They migrated into our area, and we do not have enough law enforcement to fight them off. They're looting, they're rooting, they're killing, they're doing all these things. We need more people to handle the riots. And we need help. And people step up and volunteer. I'll help. Great, come on down. And they have you raise your hand. They swear you in. They give you a badge. They give you authority. And you say, can I get a bulletproof vest? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any more of those. Okay, well, can I get one of those cool helmets to stop the bullet from hitting me in the head? I'm sorry, we're out of helmets. Well, can I get a shield at least? I'm sorry, we don't have any more shields. Wow, can I get a taser, at least a taser? I'm sorry, we don't have any tasers. Do I get a gun? No guns. Can I bring my own gun? No, sorry, you can't bring anything that's not issued by the police department. Do I get to ride in a cop car? Sorry, we're out of cop cars. Just ride your bicycle. You would take that badge off and you would lay it down and go, this is useless. Authority without any power to back it up? You're not equipping me with power. You just gave me authority, but no power to back it up. No one would say yes to that. See, power, as we receive power of the Holy Spirit, it means dunamis power, which translates dynamite. It's the same word we use for dynamite. It's an explosive power. God's power and ability. When we accept Jesus as our Lord, we accept his authority. And when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, we receive his power. The more I walk with God and learn who he is, the more I walk in the authority he's made me to walk in. And the more I surrender my life daily to the Holy Spirit, the more power I can walk in. See, look at this statement. I said it earlier. I want to say it again. God won't do for us what he's already empowered us to do. What are you saying? That means use the power God's given you. Use the power God's given you. God, it's like this. God, my friend, they lost their job. They don't have anything to eat. God, send them something to eat. God, do a miracle. Send them food to eat. All while our cabinets are full of food. God, God's like, I want you. I blessed you to be a blessing. Sometimes we want God to open the door and God says, I want you to open the door. I've given you the power and authority to open it. God, I need you to remove the enemy. No, I've given you the power to remove the enemy. I want you to rebuke it and bind it. Whoa. He is going to do it through my faith as I activate what he's empowered me to do. I've heard people say, well, I want to move with God, but I don't want to get ahead of God. I don't want to run ahead of God. And I say to you, if you've ever said, I don't want to run ahead of God, I want to say this. You must think God is really slow. I got news for you today. I can't, you can't. None of us can run ahead of God. We're not that fast. God is not worried about us running ahead of him. Oh, I don't want to run ahead of God. See, the enemy has no power and no authority in the believer's life. Well, the devil is always picking on me, Pastor. Always picking on my family, my marriage. Always picking on my children. Well, when are you going to learn to stand up? Let's put it in everyday terms. So would you allow one of your children be picked on every day? No, you would do one of two things, or both. You would say, I'm going to teach them how to stand up for themselves. And if they can't have that ability, then I'm going to go and teach them how to imply and get the help from the people who should be helping them. But one way or another, they're going to learn to stand up for themselves. They don't have to be picked on every day of their life. But spiritually, we allow our family to be picked on all the time, and we never do a thing about it. My enemy's just picking on me, just attacking our family. Stand up to the enemy. God's already given you the authority. God's already given you the power. Stand up and say, enough is enough. Just don't sit there and take it. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, all, come on now, say it, all authority in heaven and on earth, Jesus said, has been given to me. Now I'm telling you, commissioning you, go. Therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was saying what? Jesus was saying, I have received all authority on heaven and on earth. Now I'm telling you, I give you this same authority. Go and do what you saw me do. Go and repeat and go and do the things you saw me teach you do. Because I give it away to you. And I can do that because I've received it. You saw me operate in the power. You've seen the resurrection. You know I have the power. And if I tell you to go in my power, go in my power. I have the authority to give you that authority and power. See, I have been given authority. I now give you authority. Go and do it. The last verse I'm going to read you in Matthew 16, 18, and 19. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. Wow. This is the authority and power that Jesus gives all believers. He has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Quit letting them pick on you. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but I'm telling you, you've got the authority and you've got the power. See, we've been given power to bind it. It's what it says, right? We've been given the power to bind. Bind it means I stop it from advancing. I bind it and I stop it from hurting me. I bind it and I stop its attack. But the good news is not only do we have the power to bind it, but it says we have the power to loose it, to let it go. That means we have the power to stop the attack of the enemy, and I have the power to break loose from the attack of the enemy. And in Jesus' name, I can command that attack to leave me, to leave my children, to leave my mind, to leave my family. Come on, someone needs to get bold today and begin to bind it and loose it. Bind any attack and tell, let it go. Tell the enemy, let go of my mind. Tell the enemy, let go of my marriage. Tell the enemy, let go of my family. Let go of my children. Let go of my finances. Let go of depression. Let go. Let go. Let go. You have no power over Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, I stand in the authority of Jesus' name, and I speak to the things that have been oppressing you. But you got to speak it over yourself. I speak to your family, but you got to learn to stand up and speak it over your own family. What are you saying? I'm saying you got to be willing to fight. You've been given a power and authority. Use it. I could spend the rest of the day telling you times I've had to walk in that power and authority. Times I had to fight for my family. Fight for my children. Fight for the things of God in my life. And it's not easy. A lot of tears, a lot of sorrow, a lot of heartache. But I'm telling you, the enemy has no hold over you. It cannot defeat you if you don't give up. The only way it wins, if you let it win. Stop letting it win. You've been given power and authority from Jesus. It's a bold faith. It's a bold faith. It's a bold faith. Anybody want to walk in that bold faith today? Give me a shout, amen. Stand on your feet today. As you stand on your feet, I'm praying right now. Right now. God is stirring something up. How many say, Pastor, I'm tired of letting the enemy push me around and my family and my life. Raise your hand if that's you. Like, I'm just tired of it, man. I'm just tired of it. Lift your hands right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray there is a bold faith right now rising up in your people. That God, we would learn to walk in our God-given authority and power. And when we feel the oppression of the enemy, we begin to speak out in Jesus' name over our spouse, over our own mind, over our children, we pray. God, over our health, over our home, over our finances, over the depression, over the anxiety, over the hurt, over the guilt. We speak in Jesus' name. We bind it in the name of Jesus. And we say, let them go in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray right now that we live it out. Let us walk in your power and authority. Not spiritually timid or intimidated, but we walk humbly knowing that our dad's got this, that we can pick up the badge you've given us at any time and access your authority and power in our life.